Sharp Tongue Podcast. Wow. I feel like I've been gone for a while, and it's been 14 days since my last podcast fessional. I took a little bit of a hiatus because my best friend and life companion passed away, Fozzie Bear, my little 5-pound Mexican asshole, passed away when I went to the desert. And I realized something about the desert that I did not know. Your tears dry very fast in the desert because it's so dry. So if you're going to cry, go to the desert. It'll be harder for people to know you're crying because your tears evaporate into the desert air. I went to Palm Springs and it was going to be a weekend off with myself, Laura Murphy, who is, I talk about repeatedly on this podcast, and my assistant Liz Perez and her girlfriend Chelsea. We all went to the desert. And it was going to be a weekend where we just relaxed. You know, I Airbnb'd a place. I've never done that before. So I found a cute little house with a pool in the backyard. It was really a weekend for the dogs. You know, I wanted Carlin to have a little backyard action. Fozzie to go light up the whole backyard with his piss and shit because he's an animal, literally and figuratively. And it turned out to be Fozzie's death weekend. That's what it turned out to be. And if it hits you every once in a while. I don't know if anyone's ever lost a dog. It's a weird thing. It's a weird relationship because is there something against crying on a podcast? He was a part of my family. He was my family. And I feel like I lost a person. That's what it feels like. And God damn it. I said I was going to do this podcast and not fucking cry. I apologize if I'm making you cry as well. And if you're not crying, you're just dead inside. Which I'm happy to find out that I'm not dead inside because I'm crying. It's weird because I feel like I lost someone. You know, I had to like stop myself from being like, yeah, someone died. It's a dog. But I think because, you know, looking back, I realize how much he meant to me. And even though he was 5 pounds, the space that he took up in my heart feels like a person, you know, it's that big. So it was tough. It was very, very tough. I've had that dog for 10 years. I got him when he was about 4 months old. He was a rescue from a puppy mill I found online. And his name was Smokey when I found him. And I was like, that's a terrible fucking name. So I changed it to Fozzie Bear. You know, I have my dog Carlin, and I used to have a dog named Gilda. You know, I'm a comedian, so there's certain aspects of my life that I wanted to incorporate into dog names because I'm a total fucking dork. So Fozzie Bear was it. You know, Fozzie Bear is the Muppet. Waka waka waka. He was the Jewish Muppet. Nobody really said, but he was a Jewish stand-up comic. You know, Fozzie Bear. Why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? Yeah, classic material. Grade A comic. And I got Fozzie Bear actually when I was living with my boyfriend Randall in Boston. He was my first boyfriend that I lived with, and Randall didn't want a dog. He was very adamant about that, and I'm a bitch and I wanted a dog, so I was like, oh, you don't want one, okay. But I just kept going on these websites looking at dogs and just asking Randall, you know, I'd show him the photos. It's basically like you feel like you're looking on online profiles, like you're dating, but you're looking for a dog. And I kept asking Randall, you know, is this dog cute? Is this dog cute? And because he didn't want any of the dogs. No. It was all no's. And the one yes was Smokey. And he's like, you're not getting a dog, but that one's really cute. And so I bought him that night. I bought him that night. He was in Wisconsin. And he had to fly, you know, he had to get flown in. My dad actually bought him for me. My dad gave me his credit card number. So I wasn't alone in this process, Randall. FYI. You have Joe Peluso to blame because I have Joe Peluso wrapped around my little finger because I'm the youngest of four daughters. So he was in on the scam. He was in on the scam, okay? So I didn't commit this alone. So my dad gave me the credit card number and I bought Fozzie or Smokey. And I'll never forget the day I had to go pick him up. So I'm living in Boston and my boyfriend's like, well, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I got to go to work for a couple hours. I took the train from Comm Ave in Alston to Logan Airport. And Fozzie came in this enormous crate, like the crate that I use now for Carlin, who is about 60 pounds. That's the size of the crate that Fozzie came in. And when I walk up to the receiving area where I picked Fozzie up in the luggage, baggage claim, all I could see was ears. I just saw two big fucking ears and I was like, oh my God, this is my dog. And he was so terrified and I put him in my jacket. That's probably the reason he became an asshole, because the moment I got him, I wrapped him in my fucking coat like an idiot. He immediately became possessive over me. But he was like a pound. I remember I took a photo of him once when I got him, and his body was smaller than a soup can. So I get home to the apartment. Randall had no idea. I'm such an asshole. Looking backwards, what a dick move. Like, your boyfriend's apartment, not your apartment. He doesn't want a dog. Oh, really? Too bad. So I open the door and I let Fozzie run in, and Randall's in the bathroom, which is like around the corner from the door, the little like foyer area. Yes, I said foyer. Fucking suck it up. And so I see Fozzie go run into the bathroom, and all I hear is Randall go, what is that? And it's such a conundrum because he was angry. Of course he's angry because I went against his desires. It's his apartment. But the funny thing is, Fozzie was so fucking cute. His anger just dissipated. Randall's anger just dissipated the moment he looked at Fozzie's face, because he looked like a goddamn bat. He had a little teeny face, enormous ears, and he was like a pound. And so Randall's like, all right, I guess this is our dog. And it took like a week for us to name him Fozzie Bear. And he lived with us there in Boston, you know. I lived there for about 4 years. Fozzie traveled fucking everywhere. That dog was my travel companion. We traveled everywhere. Randall and I traveled a lot. Fozzie went to Disney World with us a few times. He didn't get to go on the rides, but, you know, he made it to Kissimmee and chilled in the air-conditioned house. And the first 3 months having Fozzie was such a pain in the ass. I don't know if anyone's had a puppy, but they whine. Some of them whine when you leave them at night, and it sounds like you're physically abusing a parakeet with emphysema. That's the closest sound I can, that's the closest way I can describe to how a puppy sounds when they whine at night, especially a dog that size with a high-pitched yelp. 3 months every night, Randall was like, on the verge of kicking me out. But he's such a good guy. He dealt with it because he also fell in love with Fozzie. And, you know, that relationship ended, unfortunately. Randall and I are still friends. He's one of the greatest guys I've ever known. And it was funny because Randall told me after we had broken up, you know, years later, he has this beautiful, you know, Randall has beautiful stuff in his apartment. So that's why he didn't really want a dog. He didn't want his shit to get fucked up, which I understand. And it makes sense. And he had this really cool shag rug. Not like, you know, Austin Powers, yeah, baby, shag rug. Like a nice shag rug. And a couple times Fozzie, you know, peed on it when we were in the throes of potty training him. But I didn't realize the level of destruction that dog did to that shag rug until afterwards when I, you know, had left and Randall and I had been broken up for years. And Randall calls me and he goes, you know, I had my floors redone and they had to lift up the rug to, you know, get to the floors. And it looks like he didn't miss a spot on the rug. He must have covered, and the rug was like, I don't know. It was a big ass rug, and Fozzie hit up every corner of that rug, and it was an expensive, like, handmade shag rug. So, Randall, I owe you a shag rug for you putting up with Fozzie Bear for so long, but thank you for loving him as much as you did, because he certainly loved you. So, yeah, that was one relationship Fozzie saw me through. Fozzie saw me through three serious boyfriends. I've lived with three men. Fozzie outlasted all of them. Randall was the first one. Johnny the Greek was the second one. And the third one was Giannis, another Greek. And those are my three boyfriends that Fozzie outlasted and, you know, managed to dominate all, you know, be the dominant one to all of them. I don't think Fozzie ever bit Randall. I don't think he ever bit Johnny. He definitely bit Giannis in the face once. But, you know, Fozzie and I were snuggling and Giannis came in kind of, you know, you can't come in hot. If you have a chihuahua, you can't come in hot with a chihuahua. You got to give him a minute. So Giannis came in a little too hot and Fozzie bit him in the face. And the funniest thing was Giannis's face when Fozzie bit him, because Giannis really bonded with Fozzie. You know, he just really had a special connection with the dog. He looked like he was heartbroken. That was the funniest fucking thing, like, to see this grown-ass man get bit in the face by a 5-pound dog, and it really hit his soul. He just looked like, what the fuck, dude? What about everything we've been through? What about all the ups and downs? You're just gonna do me like that? Oh my god. So, yeah, Fozzie outlasted all my relationships, or you know, stuck with me through all my relationships. We've lived in so many places. I've lived in, God, Fozzie lived in my first apartment with me in Boston. Then I moved to New York City with my friend Aaron Birmingham, who is now a lawyer in Boston. Her and I moved to New York City from Boston together, along with our friend Alicia Zoidis. And we lived on Madison Street, not Madison Ave. We moved to Bed-Stuy, but we used to tell everybody, yeah, we're on Madison. We just would never specify that it was the Bed-Stuy Madison, not the, you know, up, you know, Manhattan proper Madison Ave. We lived on Madison between Lewis and Marcus Garvey. And then we moved to Stuyvesant Heights, which is still Bed-Stuy. And we lived on Bainbridge between Lewis and Stuyvesant, I think. And then I moved in with my second boyfriend to Astoria, Queens, and I lived on 21st Street right off of Ditmars stop. Fozzie lived there. And then I broke up with that guy, moved into a really shitty apartment on 138th and Lenox, Spanish Harlem. Horrible apartment. You think about that apartment when I moved there. I was watching a documentary about prostitution in America with my mother once. As you do, you know, uplifting. Most people drink box wine and watch Lifetime Network with their mom. Nope, not me. I drink box wine and watch depressing documentaries about sexual trafficking in our homeland. I forget what it was called. It came out in like 2007. I'm going to have to look it up. And one of the buildings that they featured that was a centrifugal meeting point for a lot of the pimps and prostitutes was my apartment building. And it popped up on the screen, and my mother had just visited. She had just come to the apartment. And so the apartment building comes up, and then, you know, the narration over it is like, 138th and Lenox is a hot spot for prostitution in America, particularly this building. And I'm just staring, and I'm like dying inside. I'm like starting to get upper lip sweat. And I feel my mom look at me from across the room, and I just hear her say in her upstate Syracuse accent, "Oh, it's a safe neighborhood? Is that what it is? Honey, god damn it. Are you a fucking prostitute?" So that was another apartment that Fozzie and I lived in. What is that, 5 by now? Let's see, 2 in Bed-Stuy, Astoria, Queens. This is the 4th one, 138th and Lenox. And then I moved after 4 months of living there because it was so bad. That's a place where somebody slipped a dental dam under my door. I think I mentioned that the last podcast. Someone slipped a fucking dental dam under my door with a Wendy's application. And where all the, when, you know, the work skills were, this person wrote sexual skills. And, you know, overqualified, really, for the job. So, had to leave that apartment. I moved in with my now best friend, Natalie Tucci. Her and I moved into 147th and St. Nick, west side of Harlem. Harlem proper, the nicer area, more gentrified at that time, safer. We moved there, 147th and St. Nick, our 5th apartment. Fozzie lived there with us. And I realized throughout the years that Fozzie had become the catalyst for a bunch of my friends getting dogs, which is a beautiful thing. You know, when you know somebody who has a dog and you're not a dog person per se, or you are a dog person, you just don't have a dog, you realize the value they add to their life. So I got a message from Giannis's best friend, who I, you know, became friends with when him and I were together, Jesse Scaturo, who is a really great photographer and Giannis's business partner back in the day in Brooklyn. And he sent me a message about Fozzie, and, you know, he said how Fozzie inspired him to get a dog. And I thought that was really unique and sweet. And so when Natalie and I lived together, he inspired her to get a dog, and she got a puppy while we were living together. And the puppy made the same crazy bird sounds for a few months. And I experienced the karma of having Fozzie when I was like, Natalie, don't get a dog. Don't, it's so much work. Don't do it. Please don't get a dog. And then she showed up with the dog, and I'm like, son of a bitch. Karma comes back. It comes back so hard. Hits you right in the asshole with an iron skillet. So her dog cried for 3 months. I texted her. We were in our apartment one morning. She's in her room. I'm in my room. I texted her from my room, shut your dog up. I have to get to work. It was so funny. And her and I laugh about that still to this day. So she got Bella and Winston because of Fozzie. And so then Fozzie and I moved again. So this is the 6th apartment. We moved to Hoboken. I lived on Park and First in Hoboken with my really good friend still, Larry Neumeister, who is a journalist for the Associated Press in New York City. Hey, Larry. We lived in a railroad-style apartment, which, if you don't know what that is, it means that the bedrooms are connected. And the only way, if you're in the last bedroom, you have to walk through the next bedroom to get through the apartment. So Larry had to literally walk through my bedroom anytime he wanted to get into the apartment or out of his bedroom. He had to walk through mine. So it was an interesting living situation. I lived there for almost two years, and him and Fozzie really bonded. He was so great with Fozzie. He didn't get a dog, but he was, you know, so wonderful with him. And he would tell me that he could always tell when I was coming home, Fozzie would perk up. And he would perk up even before I got to the door downstairs, which is 4 flights below the apartment. And I don't know how the fuck Fozzie could hear me. I don't know. Every time it happened, I would walk into the apartment and Larry would look so shocked sitting on the couch. And he would tell me every single time, I don't know how to explain it, but Fozzie knew you were coming home before he could even hear you or I could even hear you. So, you know, we just had this crazy bond, man. And so that was in Hoboken. And then from Hoboken, I moved in with Giannis, my third and last boyfriend. I moved in with him and his mother in Park Slope. We lived on 3rd Street, right below the park, right near Park Slope. The Prospect, is it Prospect Park there? I always forget. Or is it just Park Slope Park? I think it's Prospect Park? Pretty sure. Beautiful park. Same architect as the one who created the Central Park, designed this park in Park Slope. We lived right below it. I moved in with him and his mother. His mother was 80 years old and had Alzheimer's, and we lived in that apartment together. It was pure chaos. It was the most chaotic time of my life. It was the house he grew up in. His mother was a bit of a hoarder. And when I moved in, I put a fire under his ass to get rid of all of her shit when she wasn't looking, you know, because with Alzheimer's, you have moments of lucidity. So you couldn't do it in those moments because she'd freak the fuck out. So we had to do it when she was just, you know, off in the clouds. We would pack up a bunch of shit and bring it down to the basement. We were like thieves in the night. We would have to, we had a process of how we got rid of the shit in her house. She just had papers and she hoarded everything, Christmas ornaments and just anything and everything. She kept everything. She kept tissue boxes and just the most random things. And it just wasn't healthy or sanitary. It wasn't a good way to live. But she didn't know. You know, she's an elderly woman with a mental disorder, a mental disease. And so I just told him, like, we got to get this shit out. And so our process was at night when she'd go to sleep, him and I would bust ass and pack up as much shit as we could and bring it down in the basement. And we just kept her out of the basement for months. And whenever she'd have a moment of lucidity and look around and realize some things were missing, we'd just be like, no, here's some chocolate. Do you want some chocolate? How about this? You know, she was a Greek. She was from Crete. 80-year-old woman from Crete. Anna Pappas. And she talked like this. And, you know, it'd give her some chocolate. Do you want some chocolate? Don't worry about the papers. They're gone. So we would just fucking literally distract her with bars of chocolate. So she wouldn't go down in the fucking basement. So that we could continue to clean the house that he grew up in. That was just covered in stuff. And so... And then the process from bringing all the shit downstairs, we'd bring it out to the curb. So it was like this conveyor belt of us just, you know, cleaning out his house. And really, now that I think of it, it was probably cathartic for him emotionally to get rid of all this stuff for his mom. Because, you know, it of what it probably did to him mentally to realize his mother had gotten to this level of hoarding stuff in her house and living in that situation. So I'm sure it was good for him, but I'm carrying boxes of ornaments from 1962 with tissue boxes in it and, you know, hair ties from the 80s. And I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? What am I doing? This is what love has done to me. I don't know if love is healthy. If I'm spending my Saturday nights carrying out boxes of hoarding items from an 80-year-old Cretan woman who, you know, argues with me about where I keep the butter. Her and I used to argue about the butter all the time because I grew up, my mother always keeps the butter out. We put it in a glass container and we keep it out next to the fridge because then it's soft. It's easier for spreading and you can still cook with it the same. It's just a little bit more manageable. So every time I'd come downstairs, the butter would be back in the fucking fridge. And I'd have arguments with the 80-year-old woman about butter, which is just dumb. But it just shows you how, you know, I was at my wick's end with this whole situation. So in that whole time, I was living with Giannis, with his mother. You know, I was doing stand-up comedy. I was pursuing it hardcore, and Fozzie was there. And Giannis really loved Fozzie, and he really realized the value of dogs. And so we ended up adopting another dog named Gilda, who was a Portuguese Podengo. We thought she was a different type of dog. And Laura Murphy used to have a Portuguese Podengo, and she corrected us. She's like, no, you have a Portuguese Podengo. And Gilda was a dope dog, very hard to train. She used to run away. One day we lost her for 4 hours. We thought she was gone. We lost her in the park, and we looked for 4 hours. It was pouring rain. Giannis and I split up. I was crying. I was sobbing. And 4 hours we looked for her. We went home. She was home. She ran home. Ran right to the door, scratched on the door, and Anna Pappas let her in. So Gilda was a very difficult dog and hard to deal with. So hard to deal with that she was actually on my friend Justin Silver's dog show back in the day on CBS. I think it was on CBS. It was called Dogs in the City. Justin is a dog trainer, and he had an episode with Gilda and Fozzie Bear on it. He didn't work with Fozzie Bear. It was just for Gilda because she was so fucking crazy and obsessive about going outside and trying to get out. And, you know, she had a very high prey drive. So she was a tough dog, a tough rescue to deal with. But we had her, and then we were like, well, maybe if we get another dog, she'll be easier to deal with. So that's where Carlin came in. We got Carlin at Bark Shelter. It was a bully breed shelter, no kill, and very small room. It wasn't Bark Shelter. It was Sean Casey Shelter. I got Gilda from Bark Shelter. Bark Shelter's in Williamsburg in New York. Sean Casey is in Park Slope in New York. They specialize in bully breeds, so please go there and find a dog. Go to Bark Shelter and adopt a dog. You can find any breed, any age of dogs in a shelter. I will reiterate that again and again. So we went to Sean Casey Shelter to get Gilda a friend because we're fucking crazy. And I walk in and it's ceiling to floor, floor to ceiling cages. Three, stacked up three, and covering the whole room. So basically you walk into a room of cages right in your face, and all the dogs are barking, rightfully so, because they're in crates because of the limited space. And there's Mastiffs, and there's Italian Mastiffs, and there's Dobermans, Pit Bulls, Bulldogs, Boxers, you know, all the breeds that everyone's terrified of because they don't educate themselves. And I was like, well, I don't know about this because they all seem a little unruly and crazy. And so what I did to pick a dog out, I put my hand right outside the cage to test the aggression level. And I got to Carlin's cage. All the dogs were barking at me. And I felt like they were going to bite me if I got my hand any closer. Because it's a very stressful situation. And one thing I want to say to people who go to a shelter to adopt a dog, the personality that the dog has developed in the shelter isn't necessarily their true characteristic. So don't judge a dog by his cover because it's just a stressful situation for them. So just know that, you know, understandably, you probably won't want to take a dog that's barking aggressively at you, but just understand that if you see a dog that you like, there are ways to work with that attitude and realize that when you get them home after a few days of them adjusting, they can be a totally different dog. It might take a trainer. It might take some foresight and education, but just know that. And so Carlin, when I put my hand up to his cage, he was the only dog that turned around and showed me his ass, which is a very submissive thing to do. And I was like, I want that dog. And so we took Carlin home that day. And I lived in Park Slope with Giannis Pappas, his mother of 80 years old with Alzheimer's disease, in his childhood home with my dog Fozzie Bear, the 5-pound Chihuahua, our Portuguese Podengo, the 35-pound Gilda, and then our new dog, Carlin, the Boxer Pit Bull mix, who was about 50 pounds. So there was like 1,000 pounds of people living in this house. And it was the craziest time of my life, but I don't regret any of it. I don't. And so that relationship ended. And from Park Slope, Fozzie Bear and I moved to, we lived on the couch with Laura. Laura Murphy took me in because she's a saint. I lived on her couch and Fozzie stayed with me. I couldn't bring Carlin and Gilda with me, obviously, because Laura lived in a studio apartment near Murray Hill in Manhattan. So I, you know, I'm not that much of an asshole to bring three dogs into a friend's apartment. So I just brought Fozzie Bear with me. And Gilda and Carlin stayed with Giannis. It was a very difficult time. You know, it just was hard. The breakup was hard. I didn't know what to do with the dogs. I didn't have a place, an apartment yet. This is right after Girl Code came out. So it was such a weird place to be in, to be on this successful show. I'm getting all this recognition. My career is starting to take off. And my emotional life, my private life is a total fucking disarray. And so it was very hard. It was very difficult for me because, you know, Giannis gave Gilda to our friend Frank Gallo, who Gilda is now his family's dog, which makes me happy. It's heartbreaking, but it makes me happy. And it made me happy then to know that she was going to be with somebody we knew. He had daughters and she's a great dog. She's very protective and sweet and loves to play. So, and he had some trouble with her because she's a difficult dog and you know, it takes somebody with education and patience to deal with her. And so he almost gave her up, but I'm glad he didn't. He stuck with her. And then Carlin got passed around a little bit. We had friends watch him. You know, my manager at the time, Chris Italia, watched him for a little bit. Kendra Cunningham watched him for a little bit. A couple comedians just stepped up and Carlin couch surfed until I got my own apartment. And I lived on 121st and 3rd in Spanish Harlem yet again, full circle. And I got a one bedroom up there and I got Carlin and it was just me and Carlin and Fozzie Bear. So how many apartments is that now, guys? Two in Bed-Stuy. We went to Astoria, Queens. Then I went to the prostitution house. And then Natalie and I moved into 147th and St. Nick. Then I went to 112th and Park and First in Hoboken. Then I went to Park Slope. Then I went to the Spanish Harlem. It's eight apartments in 9.5 years of living in New York City. So the eighth apartment is the one on 121st and 3rd that Fozzie Bear lived with me and Carlin. And then we really started to settle into our groove. I only lived there for less than a year because then I moved to LA. I moved to Santa Monica. So that was my ninth apartment. And now I'm in my 10th apartment in about 11 years, 11 and a half years. Fozzie lived in 10 apartments with me, which is a lot of moving around. So that he was a very nervous dog, probably brought on by my constant flux in moving around. But he just, I realized that he was the constant in my life. You know, and I was talking with my manager, Justin, about this. And even though I've had boyfriends and different scenarios and dated different men, Fozzie was always my guy. He was my dude. It didn't matter what was going on in my life. That's why dogs are so amazing. They're so simple. They just want your love. And that's why they're so therapeutic and really great to have around because, you know, I could be going through these horrible situations with boyfriends and Fozzie was just always my guy through 10 apartments and countless, you know, dates, three serious boyfriends. Fozzie always was the last thing I took out of the apartment with me. You know, all the boxes were packed up. I got my dog and I knew I was going to be okay. And so it's just crazy to me how long I had him. It 10 years, but it felt like a lifetime because of all the places we lived in and the heartbreak and all of that. But I don't mean to make this a sad, I don't want you guys to cry, but I also don't want to, you know, I got to keep it real. And I just wanted to have like a little tribute to him, to Fozzie Bear. And he, you know, he went on a lot of road gigs with me. Carly Aquilino became his aunt on the road. We went to this one gig in Florida. Captain O'Brien's, this gig, oh my god, it was in like a seafood restaurant, and there was fucking all these knickknacks, these ship captain inspired goddamn knickknacks all around. There was a shark head next to you on stage. I laughed so hard because Carly went up on stage. This was a gig from like 3 years ago. It was Chris DiStefano, Carly, and me. And Carly went up on stage before me and she gets off and I was like, oh God, how was it? It's basically in the middle of a restaurant. Everyone's eating. You know, they're eating all sorts of seafood. And Carly's like, yeah, it was great. Except I could hear people shucking clams. Oh my God. I laughed so hard. She's like, yeah, I can hear them peeling and eating shrimp. It was a great, great time. So Fozzie Bear came with us on that gig. And there was, you know, a little bit of an ocean area. So we went into the ocean a little bit. Chris, Carly, and I, and Fozzie Bear. We went into the ocean. Just like this little bay area. Everyone's like walking around. People are on paddle boards. And so I brought Fozzie to swim a little. Now, Fozzie, you should know, was a little bit of a dick. He was a sweet asshole. I called him my 5-pound Mexican asshole because he just had a little spice to him. You know, he had a little bite. Literally had a little bite to him. He would bite you when he met you, and then he'd sit on your lap like a total fucking asshole. Like a typical man playing mind games. Like, he'll bite you, abuse you, and then love you, so you take him back. So we're swimming in the ocean. These two elderly ladies are walking on the shore. I have never seen my dog go this crazy. He starts swimming towards the shore. And Carly's like, where the hell is he going? I was like, I don't know. I have no idea. What's he doing? Because he doesn't like to be away from me. Swam towards the shore. Ran out. He just bum rushed this lady. Just ran right at her. Bit her in the shin. This like 85-year-old woman that was power walking on the shore with her other friend. Bit her in the shin. She falls over. The bite from the 5-pound Mexican Chihuahua makes her fall down. And Chris DiStefano and Carly and I are in the water like, holy fuck. Oh, Carly wasn't in the water. She was on the shore. Chris and I are in the water like, what the fuck? And this lady falls down and I'm swimming, going to run over to her. Her shin is bleeding. She's rolling around in the sand. And I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? She's like, and then I look closer. Her knees have fresh surgery scars on them. Yet she was taking a slow exercise around the beach because she just had knee surgery like 4 weeks prior to this day. So my dog attacked a woman who just got out of knee surgery. She fell. Carly's like, are you okay? Are you okay? This 85-year-old woman tripped and she's bleeding from her shin. Are you okay? Oh my God. I just realized how much of an asshole my dog was at that moment. And, you know, like years before I came to visit LA one time, I went to Malibu in a secluded area, sat on the beach on a blanket with Fozzie. Nobody's around. I was probably 200 yards, maybe a football field length away from the shore. I was way back, away from the ocean. Sitting on a beach towel with my dog, listening to a little music. Just him and I, having a great day. Beautiful sunny day. This motherfucker. This guy is running along the shore. Again, an elderly person. And this is all, you know, before I lived with Giannis's mom. So I can't even blame it on him living with an 80-year-old woman with Alzheimer's. Like he got some sort of, you know, adverse effect. No, this is just my dog being an asshole. So this guy's running along the shore. Fozzie just books it towards him. Aggressive. Fucking 5 pounds. Aggressive. He looks like a goddamn critter. Anybody ever see the movie Critters from the 80s? That's my fucking dog. Coming at ya. He's a long-haired chihuahua. He can look terrifying. Cute fucking face. But all you see is hair and teeth, okay? Critters. I think they made that movie foreshadowing about my dog. So... the guy, I'm screaming, I'm like, Fozzie, Fozzie. So the guy picks up a handful of sand and throws it at Fozzie because he was so scared. And then I hear him yell, you got to control your goddamn dog. And I'm like, sir, if you only fucking knew, I try and control him, but he's too cute, okay? What do you want from me, you motherfucker? Oh, God. Fozzie's bit everybody. He's bit... One of my best friends from New York, Charlie Garriga, who used to, who owns the bar that I used to bartend at in Tribeca, Puffy's Tavern. You guys have heard me talk about it. Please go visit Puffy's Tavern. Charlie loved Fozzie, even though he called him Fozzie the fuck. But he loved him. He loved his little spunky attitude. And he said something so funny when I was in New York City a couple weeks ago performing at FIT. He's like, I loved your dog. He bit my children, but I loved your dog. I laughed so hard when he said he bit my children. Oh, God. He just was a dick. He was such an asshole, but he was so cute. The first apartment I lived in, one of my really good friends, Julie Oliver, who lives in New York City as well. She's one of my besties. She owns a company called Organize NY. She can organize your life papers or, you know, rearrange your fucking living room. If you're a disaster, she can help you organize everything because she's a neurotic, meticulous person and has made a business out of it. But her and I were at my first apartment on Madison Street, hanging out in my bedroom, chilling with Fozzie Bear. Well, we weren't really paying attention to Fozzie Bear. We're like looking at photos or something, doing some girly shit. And I had this little popcorn lamp. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a popcorn lamp. It's just a style of lamp. You know, it's like a nightlight. And it was in the shape of strawberry shortcake. And it was on my nightstand. And we're just talking. And the light kind of flickers a little. And we just look at it. And we're like, that's weird. Because all the other lights were fine. And then we're like, where's Fozzie? And we just kind of hear this little noise. We look under my bed. Fozzie has chewed the wires to that lamp raw. And is literally being electrocuted on this cord, lockjaw, making the most horrific sound. And I'm like, oh my God, what do we do? And while I'm freaking out, I'm like, what do we do? What do we do? Julie just grabbed Fozzie by the tail and yanked him off the wire. And when she did this, he shit everywhere. He let out electrocution sharts all over my floor. She got him off the cord, saved my dog's life, and he sharted everywhere and wouldn't come near us for like a whole day because he's like, fuck you bitches. You're too busy looking at People magazine to realize I'm being fried to fuck under your bed on your strawberry shortcake popcorn lamp. You fucking child. Grow up and get a real lamp. What are you doing with a popcorn lamp? And so Fozzie destroyed that lamp. And I had to throw it out, and I just found it again recently on eBay. So I bought it, and it's in my closet because it makes me too depressed to light it up because I am a melodramatic asshole. No, but that was just a funny... My dog got fucking electrocuted. No wonder he was so crazy. And another time I was going to visit my cousin, Allie. She was living in Bushwick. This was about... I want to say 2011, maybe. So, and Fozzie Bear was going to be 11 this year. So, you know, he was, whatever that fucking math is. 2015 minus, so he was about 7 years old. I don't know why that's important to the story. It's not. It's just me more highlighting the fact that I suck at math. So I go to meet my cousin at her apartment. I've never been to her apartment. That's a very pertinent part of the story. Never been to her apartment. I pull up in my black Hyundai Elantra. Fucking love that car. It got destroyed when I moved to LA, but I loved it. Pull up in my Elantra. Fozzie loved it too because there was this little center console that was big enough for him to sit on. So he felt like a little goddamn ship captain. He used to sit up there and just act like he was driving the car. Act. Syracuse is coming out. I get emotional when the Syracuse comes out. So I park the car in front of my cousin's house, and our plan was I was going to bring my dog. She had her little Shiba Inu, and her neighbor had a dog. So all three of us walked from her house that I've never been to a dog park about a mile and a half away that I've also never been to. And it pretty much was just a straight walk down about a mile and a quarter. And then a left turn, about a quarter of a mile, and there was a dog park. And I also had Gilda. That's another important part of the story. I just had gotten Gilda, had her with me, and I wanted to socialize her. So me and Gilda and Fozzie Bear, my cousin and her dog, her neighbor and her dog, all go into this dog park. And it's the middle of the summer, and it's hot as fuck. And so I'm like, let me go get us some waters. I'll bring Gilda with me so she can, you know, we can have a little bonding moment away from Fozzie. I left Fozzie in the park and I was like, just keep an eye on Fozzie. I'll bring Gilda because I was thinking Gilda's new. She's not quite bonded to me. So she might run away, you know, because she doesn't know my cousin. She doesn't know my cousin's neighbor. So I was making a preemptive strike. So I walk across the street. And this story, let me just say before I tell you what happened. this story really, what happened this day to me proved that the bond between a dog and a human being is so, can be so strong and unexplainable. So I go into the store, the corner store with Gilda, grab a bunch of waters. I come out and I look down the middle of the street and I see a bunch of people running in the middle of the street. And I get closer and I walk across the street to the dog park and I look and I see Fozzie Bear running in the middle of the streets in Bushwick away from the dog park, running away. I panic. I find some guy on the street corner, hand him Gilda. I go, the dog running down the street is my other dog. Please watch this one while I go try and find the other one. So I start running. My cousin is running down the street as well. And her neighbor stayed back to watch the dogs. So my cousin's running and she's like, I can't run anymore. You have to go. And so I go. And then my cousin goes back, sends the neighbor out. The neighbor comes out like a fucking Olympic champion with her just running with straight 90 degree bent arms. Takes her shoes off. This bitch took her shoes off. People were in the streets running after Fozzie Bear. And so what happened was like a snowball effect, because my cousin was yelling Fozzie Bear when she started running. So the name traveled down and everybody running started yelling Fozzie Bear because they heard the person behind them yelling it. And so it just caught on like a verbal epidemic down the street closer to Fozzie as he ran further away from us. I'm hyperventilating. This is the middle of Bushwick in the summer. It's the hood. We are in the hood. Three white girls running. One of them are barefoot running down the street, chasing a fucking chihuahua in the middle of the street in the middle of the summer in Bushwick, New York. I'm screaming. I'm very fit. I can't do distance running. I'm not a distance runner. And I realized that this day. I'm a sprinter. So I had to keep going and stopping, going and stopping. And so then I see him take a right. I'm like, where the fuck is this dog going? He just took a hard right. Like he knows where his friend Leroy lives down the street. And so I run. He was fast as fuck. The little goddamn bastard was fast as shit. Takes a right. I get to the corner. I'm hyperventilating. And I'm walk running because I have a cramp. I got one of those goddamn air cramps that get up in your fucking rib. You know, when you're like, I had one of those. And the funniest fucking thing is I'm yelling Fozzie Bear and I stop in the middle of the street. And it's kind of a known thing that in Brooklyn, a lot of people chill on their stoops and they chill on their fire escapes because people don't have backyards in Brooklyn, really, because everything's such a vertical existence. People have apartments, they don't have yards, so they chill on their fire escapes. So when I stopped in the middle of the street and put my hand on my knees and I was hyperventilating, this woman on the fire escape to my left goes, keep going, baby. He's down the street. Fozzie Bear is down the street. Keep running. The Spanish lady was like, Fozzie Bear's down the street. Keep going. From up on the, in an apartment building above me to the left, from a fire escape, hanging from the fire escape, this woman just goes, keep going. Fozzie Bear's down there. And I'm like, okay. I run some more. I stop. Another dude in a fire escape on like the right side was like, Fozzie Bear's down there. Keep going. I seen him run by. The whole neighborhood was looking for my dog. And I'll never forget another moment. He ran so fucking far. And so I ran, stopped again on a street corner. I'm literally hyperventilating. A cop car pulls up, sees me hyperventilating, doesn't even ask if I'm okay, and just pulls away. I couldn't even form a sentence because I was so out of breath. They didn't even ask me if I was okay. I'm like, oh, this is definitely Brooklyn. They don't even give a shit. They're like, white girl hyperventilating on the corner. I'm too busy for that. So this guy on a motorcycle comes by and he sees me running and he stops by me and he goes, are you the one looking for the dog? And I said, yes. At this point, I thought my dog was gone. I had written it off. I was still running because people from fire escapes were telling me to. So I was just like taking, you know, taking their advice and in their direction and going. So this guy pulls up. He goes, are you the one looking for the dog? And I said, yes. And he goes, get on. I get on the back of this guy's motorcycle without a helmet, We go. It felt like we took a cross-country trek on his motorcycle. That's what it felt like. But, you know, it was more like half a mile. We pull up. Fozzie Bear had noticed I had left the park. Didn't really know my cousin that well. And was fearful because he was in a new place. And he had taken upon himself to leave the park and run all the way back, leave a park he had never been to, in a neighborhood he had never been to, and run all the way back to my car parked in front of my cousin's house that he had also never been to. So we pull up. Fozzie Bear was underneath my car, terrified as fuck. Not only was he underneath my car, four cute little black boys, ranging from ages 8 to about 12, 13, each on a side of my car, because they saw him run underneath there and they didn't want, it makes, oh my God, it makes me like so emotional. They didn't want him to get out and they wanted to make sure he was okay and didn't get hit by a car. So each one of them blocked the sides and the front and back of the car. And we pull up and when I get off the bike, Fozzie runs out to me and I'm like shaking. And I had like, I don't know, $80 in my pocket just from whatever reason. Just I had cash and I gave it to the kids. And I was like, you're good men. I called them good men. They're like 8 years old. You know, their balls hadn't even descended yet. You're good men. I gave them $80. And my cousin's neighbor finally caught up to us barefoot, sweating, toes are bleeding from running in the streets of Bushwick barefoot. And she goes to hug me because I'm holding Fozzie Bear and she's crying. I'm crying. We're in this moment of total just relief and stress and all these emotions. She goes to hug me. Fozzie bites her in the fucking face. Right in the goddamn nose. Drew blood too. She bled from her fucking face. She had a welt on her nose for about a week. Oh, God. That dog was one of a fucking kind. He really was. And he filled my life with pure joy. He drove me nuts, but he filled my life with pure fucking joy. And what ended up happening when I realized he was sick, he had heart disease. It was the week I moved to LA from New York. I didn't have an apartment yet. I had an apartment. I just didn't have any furniture in it. So I was waiting for all my furniture to get delivered. So in the interim of me waiting for the furniture to come, I was living at the W in Hollywood. Humble brag. And Fozzie was there with me. And Carlin, I got transported with a pet service from Brooklyn. They picked him up in Brooklyn. And I left to LA that day and he left in his car service to travel cross country because I just, I don't know about putting him in the cargo of a plane. I just have heard too many horror stories and airlines have breed restrictions, which is ridiculous. They restrict pit bulls, which is crazy. So Carlin arrived at the W about 5 days later. And so me, Fozzie Bear, and Carlin were living in the W and Fozzie, like, I want to say a couple months before, I was staying with Chris Frangiola. Was I staying with him? I might have been staying with him, or I was visiting, and I was visiting LA, and I went to go hang out with him. I forget what the circumstances were, but I was at his house with Fozzie, and that's where he had his first episode. Chris and I were just hanging out, and Fozzie just kind of fell over on the floor, and had a little bit of a seizure. No noises, but he just was out of it. And so Chris Frangiola, being the wonderful friend he is, drove us to the animal emergency clinic on Ventura Boulevard. And I stayed there with Fozzie and they didn't see anything. You know, they didn't find anything because they fucking sucked. They couldn't find any sort of issue with him. They did all sorts of testing, charged me like a grand and sent me home. And so fast forward to me living at the W, I was going to tape Chelsea Lately, a show that Chris Frangiola wrote on and starred in and was on from the beginning. I was going to tape Chelsea Lately. So I was walking Fozzie and Carlin. Actually, no, I didn't have Carlin hadn't gotten there yet, but I was walking Fozzie and we come in and he collapses right in front of the elevator bank. And then the elevator door opens. So I pick him up. I get into the full elevator and Fozzie had passed out. I thought he died. He was limp in my arms, like a wet noodle over my arm. I started hyperventilating in the elevator because I had no idea what was happening. I was crying and people are like, is he okay? I'm like, I think he's fucking dead. So he came to, he was out of it. I ran to my room. I called Justin, my manager. I was like, yo, something is really wrong with Fozzie. I have to be to Chelsea Lately in 2 hours. I don't know what to do. So Justin picks me up. I drive to the closest pet hospital I could find. Justin meets me there. We send Fozzie in for testing, and because Justin's so great, he waits with Fozzie Bear while I go and tape Chelsea Lately. I had to go, and I didn't know, I had no idea what the condition was. I didn't know if he was okay, so I had to leave, go to tape Chelsea Lately, not sure if my dog is going to be alive. I had to tell jokes, and then, you know, do the whole show, and then that's when I realized that he had heart disease, and that was about, you know, almost 2 years ago. A little over a year and a half, and that began him getting medicated and costing me about, I would say with all the medication and doctor's appointments and rushing to the animal hospital, the seizures, the medication adjustments, he probably cost me in 2 years, maybe like 14 grand, about that. And it sounds like a lot. Maybe between 10 and 14. Sounds like a lot. And it is a lot. But I didn't even think about it. I guess I feel fortunate enough that I was able to afford that. A lot of people can't afford that and they have to put their pets down, which is terrible. I ended up finding a really great pet hospital in LA called ASEC, a Animal Specialist Emergency Center. I'm pretty sure that's what the acronym stands for. It's on Sepulveda in LA. Carly Salinger and her team are amazing there. She was a cardiologist, and we were there. I knew the doctor, you know, I was like, hey, what's up guys? You know, how's your mom? I was there so frequently. It was insane. I remember one time I was there. I blew up the bathroom. Okay. I had a bad day. I fucking 4th of July fireworked the bathroom. I must have eaten something that just didn't agree with me, and I felt bad because there's only one like customer bathroom in this emergency animal clinic. So I blew it up, shut the door. I came out, Kurt Russell standing right in front of me, and I wanted to say something to him, but then I'm like, bitch, you're in an animal hospital. Okay, his dog may be dying, and if his dog is not dying, he'll go to the bathroom and realize that you did something that made it smell like something was dying. So let's not. This now is not the time to be like, I loved you from Escape to LA. You know, you were great and overboard. It's not time for that. So I had to resist the urge to be like, I fucking love you. So I did feel fortunate that I was able to keep him alive for as long as I did. He did have a lot of seizures. He did, you know, have times when he was uncomfortable, but the medication did help him. And something I learned from this animal clinic that my doctor told me was that I think Jennifer Garner came in and paid vet bills for a couple people who couldn't afford it anonymously. And now I know I say anonymously, but the people didn't know that she did it. She didn't want anybody to know, but the doctor told me she came in and paid some pet bills for people, which is just, that's what I would do. If I had some money, I would help pay bills for people, you know, for their kids, for their pets. I just think that's a wonderful thing to do. I'm over here like, yeah, she helped Fluffy, but what about Timmy, who's really sick? I know a lot of you are gonna be like, oh, kids are more important than pets. You should help children. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about right now. So yes, children should be helped as well. I'm talking about fucking dogs, okay? Well, not about fucking dogs, because that's gross and that's bestiality and it's very rude. I'm talking about dogs. So I try to keep him alive. You know, one thing I didn't want to do was have to pull the plug. That was the one thing that stressed me out the most. And when I would take these longer flights, you know, from LA to New York, I'd have my assistant Liz stay with him, which I'm so grateful she did. Thank you, Liz. I love you. Fozzie got to fuck for the first time because Liz has a dog named Winnie, who's a little slut, a fucking floozy, who took advantage of Fozzie Bear and fucked him in his sensitive state. But Liz, a couple times when she was watching Fozzie and Winnie in my apartment, would send me videos of Fozzie and Winnie getting it on. And I'm like, my baby! At least he's getting some nookie, you know, in his last years of life. So Fozzie had a girlfriend named Winnie. I call her Winnebago. Liz would watch Fozzie for me. And it's so crazy how things work out because Fozzie literally went everywhere with me. He's been to British Columbia. He's been to Edmonton, Alberta, British Columbia. Yeah, he's been we went to Victoria, British Columbia. He's been to Edmonton in Alberta in Canada. He's been to every city almost in this country touring with me. He'd come with me every weekend. He literally was my companion, my travel companion, and just provided me with so much joy and made me so calm. I felt better. I slept better with him. And so sometimes I couldn't take him because his medical condition would be not so great for flying. And it's in hindsight, I realized that having Liz watch him a couple weekends while I was gone prepared me for being able to be on the road without him since he's passed away. So I'm very fortunate. And I think it's crazy that how that happened and worked out. But it's just been... It's been difficult. I feel a little bit better. You know, I still have moments where I just break down, like today on my podcast. It's also, you know, I realize that he is and was my best friend. And the further away I get from him dying, the more I heal. But that's so painful to me because anyone who lost someone or has lost a dog, the reality is time heals all wounds. And that's also a cliche, but to me, that's also painful because it's like you're getting further away from them being alive. And that just like, even though it's healing you, letting go is painful. So what happened, I'll tell you how he passed. We were in Palm Springs and I booked this weekend to have fun with my girlfriends, like I said in the beginning of this podcast. And I was like, you know, I have a weekend off. I'm going to take both of my dogs, which I rarely get to do. You know, Fozzie went with me a lot on the road. Carlin suffers having to, you know, be boarded. He gets boarded with a great dog walker. He has a bunch of land to run around in and other dogs to play with. So I'm just saying he suffers because he doesn't get to be with his pack, me and Fozzie Bear, all the time. So I was so excited to have a weekend with my dogs and my best friends. You know, Laura Murphy and Liz have become my family and Chelsea. So we booked this place and Laura and I got there on Thursday night with Carlin and Fozzie in tow and, you know, just bringing in all the groceries and the dogs, the huge backyard, beautiful pool. It's called Pad 360 on Airbnb. It's in Palm Springs. It's a great place if you have a bunch of people that you want to go out to the desert with. It has a beautiful view of the mountains. There's a tire swing, a hot tub, a big pool, a cabana, a fireplace. It sleeps about 12 people. It's just a great spot tucked in the desert. And Laura and I just chilled on Thursday. And I just remember feeling happy that the dogs had a whole yard to run in. And I'll tell you, I have these premonitions that I don't realize are premonitions until I look back in hindsight. When I clicked the button to pay on Airbnb for this weekend in Palm Springs, I booked it about a week and a half out before we left. I had a feeling in my gut that Fozzie was going to pass away. And I get these feelings once in a while, and I get these little moments where I just have a gut feeling, and it's so visceral, and then I just shook it off. And then when I got there Thursday night, I felt it again, and I shook it off. Fozzie was normal behavior, you know, with heart disease, their energy levels are lower. You can't really exercise them because you have to keep a consistent heart rate. Their lung capacity is lower because their heart is enlarged, so it takes up more space in their cavity, so it makes it difficult for them to respirate. So you have to consider a lot of things. So Fozzie didn't really have an active life besides fucking Winnie unprotected every goddamn time I was away. Winnie hadn't gotten there yet. Liz and Chelsea hadn't gotten there yet. So it was just me, Laura, Fozzie Bear, and Carlin. And, you know, we all slept in one room that night. Fozzie, I just remember him being in the whole yard. He ran around the whole yard. He wouldn't even come to me when I called him, which is uncharacteristic of him because he's so attached at my hip. He was so curious and happy that he was out in the yard half the night smelling and pissing all over the place, taking dumps, which is a good sign, you know. And so we all went to bed in the same room because we were scared to be in such a big new house. Laura and I were like, let's just stay in one of the rooms with two beds because there's too many noises. So we did that. Fozzie had his normal coughing. He's woken me up every night since he was diagnosed with heart disease, coughing. So I haven't had a full night's sleep since Fozzie has been, for about a year and a half, since he got diagnosed. I've always been woken up by him when he was with me, coughing and hacking very loudly. So that's one of the side effects. It was horrible to deal with, but I also felt bad because he was uncomfortable in the middle of the night. So that happened on Thursday night. He coughed and hacked and woke me up, and we did our routine, and I calmed him down. That night, I had a dream. When I woke up in the morning, I remembered my dream that I had Thursday night. I had a dream that Laura and I were somewhere in Europe, and we were traveling, and we were with Carlin. And we were in this little, we found a little rock quarry where there was water, and there was a couple other people in there that were just swimming. And so Laura and I went in and we swam, and we brought Carlin in and we swam. But Fozzie wasn't there. And I was trying to find Fozzie, and I was obsessed with trying to find him, and he was gone. And I woke up, and, you know, I was like, that was a sad dream. And then it was early. I walked outside. There was also a hammock. And I just, you know, Fozzie was a little weird. He was a little, you know, sometimes in the mornings, if he had a rough night, he was a little lethargic and, you know, coughing and hacking. He was a little bit more distant than normal. And I found the hammock, and I just had this thought, what if this is the last morning I have with him? And so I laid in the hammock, and I picked him up, and I put him on my chest, and he laid down for a couple minutes, and, you know, the sun was in his eyes, and he just closed his eyes for a couple minutes, and I pet him, and then Carlin came over, like he always did, because he always wanted to be in our shit when Fozzie and I were there, and he put his face in my face, and every single time he'd ever do that before, Fozzie would bite him. Every single time. And this time he didn't. And I just had this sinking feeling in my gut. It's like Fozzie and I were so connected. I just knew he was going to pass away. I wonder what the record is for crying the most on a podcast. I don't give a fuck. Okay? I'm over it at this point. So I put Fozzie down. And he went out of my sight, which is not normal. And then I went to the kitchen. He was there, and Laura was there, and she was like, he doesn't look so good, and his tongue was white. And I was like, oh, fuck. And he just started to deteriorate. He just was having trouble breathing. He wasn't in pain, but he was definitely uncomfortable. And he jumped up on the couch. He was all disoriented, and then he jumped down on the floor and laid on his side and was having a difficult time breathing, but I could feel that he wasn't in pain. You know how you can just tell? Him and I were so bonded, I knew he wasn't in pain. And so I called the vet, my vet, and she's like, you need to get him to a hospital right now. If his tongue is blue, you have to go right now. And I hung up, and in my mind, I was like, the last thing I want is to me to be driving to some fucking hospital and have my dog die in the car, or have him be euthanized, or have me to have to tell them to euthanize him, or honestly, I thought the last thing I want to do is to have them bring him back, you know, from this horrible moment, and for this to happen again. I didn't want to, he was ready to go. He literally was he was ready to go. And I understand it's hard for some people, but sometimes you just have to let go. And so I just laid over him and I pet him and I kissed him. I told him how great of a dog he was. And I told him he could go. And he did. He passed away in my arms. And he fucked up my whole weekend. And, you know, he passed away. And Laura, who just is so fucking funny, she's like, your dog passed away in the desert, drugged up like a fucking rock star. My dog died like Jim Morrison, for Christ's sake, in the arms of someone he loved. We can only hope to pass away that way. My dog died the best way he could have died. And I realize now how fortunate I am, how many other people have to make the horrible decision to pull the plug on their pets or their loved ones. You know, it's not just limited to animals. I realize that this podcast is dedicated to my dog, but I didn't have to make that decision. And I realize how beautiful that is and how significant it is, and how I realize that my dog let go at the most perfect moment. I literally had a view of the mountains in the morning in the desert while my dog passed away. That was the view I had. Him in my arms, beautiful desert air, and, you know, he let go. And I couldn't have asked for any other scenario. So I feel lucky. My dog died like a fucking rock star. It's pretty remarkable that happened. And I thank everybody. There's all the fans who messaged me, who wrote on the photos that I posted of Fozzie passing away. I read every single thing that you guys had to say, and it really is very sweet of you, and it helped me to know that I'm not a crazy person for thinking so much of my dog. That there are dog moms out there that are just as crazy, if not crazier than I am, about my animals. And I won't make an excuse for it, and I won't apologize. I won't apologize. Get it? Paw. I can do one bad pun joke. My dog died. And so I just wanted to dedicate this whole podcast to my beloved best friend, Fozzie Bear, my fur baby, who I will remember for the rest of my life. And I have him here. I had him cremated by some lady named Carrie with upper lip sweat in Palm Springs, who was quirky as could be, and I couldn't have asked for a better cremator. I have his box and his ashes here, and I had his paw prints done, and I wrote on his little box that his ashes are in, I put 5-pound Mexican asshole. So I still have humor, a sense of humor in all of this. I want to thank everybody for your support, and I want to thank Liz Perez for being an amazing assistant and an even better friend and person in my life, and Laura Murphy for being an amazing person in disasters. If anyone has a disaster, call Laura Murphy, because she knows exactly what to do. She handled it like a fucking champ and called my dog a rock star, and I can't ask for anything more than that. I appreciate you guys waiting for me to put a podcast out after 2 weeks of being gone, and I asked a few of my friends and family to say something about Fozzie Bear. So I had my first boyfriend, Randall, say a little something about Fozzie. I had Chris Frangiola say a little word about Fozzie. I also had Tanya Brown, who was a really good friend of mine, who her and I did Minute to Win It together back in the day. And we also just worked on a short film that she wrote. I had Tanya Brown write something for me. I had my girl Marcella Arguello say a little something about Fozzie Bear. My mom and my sister. And Liz, who I haven't heard what she's going to say because she's going to add it on to the podcast for me. But you guys, if you have a dog, love them hard, love them good. Get pet insurance, for fuck's sakes. And to Fozzie Bear, I'll love you for the rest of my life. Thank you for being a good friend and an asshole consistently. I'll miss you, buddy.
This is Tanya Dahl. I'm a friend of Jesse Mays. Let's see. Fozzie was much bigger than his tiny little body. He was kind of like a giant bear trapped in a little furry chihuahua. He would go from protecting Jesse May by trying to bite your ankles the moment you walked in the house to a couple seconds later curled up in your lap, making you wish you could stay frozen so you didn't wake him up because it was so precious. I think my favorite moment was when I caught him on video trying so hard to stay awake with us girls after a long shoot, but he was so tired. He kept falling asleep standing up. You know when you accidentally fall asleep maybe on like a plane and you wake up through some sort of large jerking motion and freaking everyone else out around you? It was kind of like that, except a very small puppy doing that. He would catch himself passing out right before we completely hit the couch. It was ridiculously adorable. I'm pretty sure we all didn't stop laughing for a couple hours after that. We're all going to miss that little guy a lot.
Fozzie, Fozzie, Fozzie. Where to start? So many great memories of Fozzie. I guess I'll start with the first one. Jess and I were living in Boston together, and she had her heart set on getting a puppy, and I stubbornly did not want to get a puppy. But in her attempt to convince me, I remember her showing me some glam shots of puppies online that were available, and we were kind of sifting through some of those photos, and we came across one, and I said, wow, that one's really adorable. And little would I know, or did I know, that a week later that particular puppy would show up at our doorstep. And after about 1.5 seconds of being like, I can't believe you got a dog, I fell in love with him right away. He was the cutest little crazy ball of fur and energy and just running all over the place, yapping. We had a cat too at the time, Venus, and just watching the two of them entertain each other, it was kind of a love-hate. Fozzie just loved Venus, and Venus was like, what is this thing doing here? But they kept each other company and entertained. And Fozzie absolutely loved Jess from the beginning. I remember when she would leave for work, he would just whine and whine and whine, and I'd go pick him up and hold on to him, have him sit in my lap, and we would bond and hang out, and he was so great. Good for hanging out and bonding, and good for peeing all over the rugs too. That was that was the one thing we had to get used to, peeing all over the shag rugs. But it was worth it. He was just so great. A lot of great memories, taking him home to Syracuse and taking him up to camp and upstate New York and in Maine. A lot of great times. He was great to travel with and just great to have around. And when Jess moved to New York, he went with her. And I know that he just became such a staple and important part in Jess's life as a companion, as a friend. Such an important part of her life. And when I'd heard that he had passed away, I was super, super sad. I wish I could have seen him one more time. I loved him to death. There's only one Fozzie Bear, and he will be missed. Jess, I'm sorry again for the loss. I know it's probably the hardest on you, but just think of all the great times that you had with him, and you'll see that it's worth it to have had all those great times with him. So yeah, thanks for asking me to leave a little message about Fozzie. Look forward to seeing you perform in Syracuse over Thanksgiving. I will be there. And yeah, thanks again. And I'm so sorry again to hear about Fozzie. I love you very much, and I will talk to you soon. All right, take care.
Hey there, this is Marcella Arguello. I'm one of Jessie Mae's comedian friends. Sometimes I open for her. Sometimes I force her to let me stay in her guest room. As a result, I sometimes watched her dogs, Carlin and Fozzie Bear, on occasion. And, you know, what is there to say about Fozzie? First of all, he bites everybody he first meets. It's really annoying. And the first time that happened to me, I almost kicked him, which would have been really messed up because my foot is larger than Fozzie. And, well, that's not saying much about Fozzie's size because I have enormous feet. Women's 13, no big deal. And I liked watching Carlin and Fozzie because they're good dogs. Fozzie, however, would sometimes, or all the time, he never wanted to acknowledge my presence. He was a stuck-up bitch. But I remember when he would always sleep in Carlin's cage when Jess May was gone, and he would just ignore me. He wanted nothing to do with me. And then when Jess May would come back into town on Monday after touring for the weekend, he would lay on my chest. If I was on the couch laying down, he would just help himself to my chest, which is a completely flat surface, so I could see why it's like the floor for him. But he was a petty little bitch, which is why I liked him, because that's how I am. You know, when Jessamy was gone, he wanted nothing to do with me, and then when Jessamy showed up, he wanted to make her jealous. And I think it worked. Maybe it didn't, I don't know. But Fozzie was a lot of fun to be around. And, like, taking care of him, I will not miss his bad breath. But, you know, he was a good dog, and he brought Jessamy a lot of joy. Therefore, I loved him. That's my little soundbite for Fozzie. I hope it's enough. If it's not, go fuck yourself, Jessamy Mae. And rest in peace, Fozzie Bear.
Here's another one from one of my besties, Chris Frangiola, a.k.a. Bar Fight Kid Dynamite.
Hey, girl. Calling with my Fozzie memories. You know, I spent a lot of time with that dog while you stayed here during your auditions and things like that before you lived in L.A. So there were times where we had a cantankerous relationship, Fozzie and myself. I would come in from work, and he would not greet me nicely. And then things changed. For about an hour in, we were best of friends, hanging out on the couch, watching TV, enjoying each other's company. I was there when he first went down years ago, a couple of years ago. He fainted in front of us, and I thought that was the end. And I'm just happy that it wasn't. And he continued on with you for a few more years, traveling to all the horrible places that we have to go as comedians. And I'm glad Fozzie was there with you. I disagreed with the haircut you gave him. I didn't like the long hair on the ears. But now I miss it. Great dog, great person, great dog. What more can I say? And I like that dog. I like that dog. I'm glad I got to spend some time with him. I'm glad I got to know him. And I'm glad he was there to protect you in places like Ohio and Syracuse and all the other terrible places and hotels and cars and weird shit that we had to do. Rest in peace, Fozzie. You're the best. I'm glad I got to hang out with you. Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Liz Perez, Jessie Mae's assistant. This is my little voice note in remembrance of Fozzie Bear. It took me a while to actually meet Fozzie Bear. I remember we had gone to Vegas, and he was with you, but he didn't stay in the room that we'd stayed in. He stayed with Justin, Jessie Mae's manager, in his hotel room. So, like, I still hadn't met Fozzie. So, yeah, this past year, I actually started to babysit Fozzie a lot. Every weekend when Jessie Mae would go away, she couldn't quite bring him with her. So I would stay with him at her apartment. We would have slumber parties. Fozzie Bear, my girlfriend, Winnie, We'd all snuggle up on the couch and watch some bullshit on the TV. I always wanted Fozzie to come lay in the bed with us, but the bed was too high, so he couldn't jump down in the middle of the night to take a piss. Or else he would end up peeing on the bed, and that would not be fun for anybody. Fozzie had to get medication every morning and night. He had like 30 different pills that he had to take. He'd never want to take them, ever. I would make like a 4-course meal to get this dog to try and take his medication. I'd be boiling pasta, got some ground turkey meat, cook that up, put those pills in there. You had to get creative with his pills, because he was just so smart. He would shake the pill out of whatever you put it in. There was this one time I was babysitting Fozzie, when he came over. At first, when my dog Winnie and Fozzie met, they wanted nothing to do with each other. I swear, it was like, I had babysat him a few times a month, and all of the times, they like did not want anything to do with each other. Then like the third or fourth time that I brought her over there when I watched Fozzie, it like a light switch turned on. She was like ready to go, and she would show her ass to Fozzie every 5 seconds. I'm looking at her right now. She's such a fucking floozy, you little slut. But yeah, so she, my dog Winnie, would show her ass to Fozzie, and they would get it on. Like Fozzie would be like there for like 10 minutes. Like it was good. I had like my phone out and like, they weren't doing anything, but I was recording, like, Winnie, like, showing her butt to Fozzie, and then all of a sudden they started to have, they're like, fuck, so I'm sitting here recording them, fucking, I'm like, I'm such a sicko. So then I was like, yeah, I'm gonna send this to Jessie Mae. So I sent it to her, I sent her a picture as well, and you can actually see the picture of Winnie and Fozzie, you know, having intercourse on Jessie Mae's Instagram. So if you want to go and take a look at that, that's there for everybody to see. But yeah, I'm gonna miss Fozzie. It's crazy how this like little 5-pound dog could impact someone's life so much. I wish Fozzie would have waited until me and Winnie got to Palm Springs, you know, to say see you later, when he wanted to see you. But he couldn't have done it in a better place. It was really nice. We had a nice view of the mountains in Palm Springs. It was relaxing. It was a good weekend. But we both definitely miss Fozzie, and he definitely left an impact on, I'm pretty sure, everybody he met has something to say about Fozzie. It's just the kind of dog he was. Love you, Jessie Mae, and love you, Fozzie.
Hi, this is Adam Ray, friend of the podcast, ex-lover of the host of the podcast, fan of John Stamos, and 5'6", 170 pounds. Those were the stats on my trading card in the fifth grade. Yeah, I told you I was a fat kid. It's with great, just bummerness that I am recording this message about our recently departed friend, Foz. Fozzie is the greatest name for a dog that I've ever heard. So, you know, obviously I became a giant fan of Fozzie's when I first met him based on his name. And then I saw how sweet he was, how soft he was, that adorable little face. And I was like, oh, I want a dog again. I haven't wanted a dog in a long time. And this dog, something very special about him, and he just like makes you feel comfortable and like everything is just okay. Like I understand why he chose Jessime, because she's the coolest and he was the coolest. So they were like, we should probably just hang out together all the time. I know that bringing Foz on the road was a bit of a hassle. But, you know, that's what you do in a relationship. You compromise. And that was, maybe that was a little bit of a shout out to my ex. Yeah, maybe it was. Am I using a dog's RIP message to get out some past frustrations and lack of closure on a relationship of mine in which the girl cheated on me and fucked a camera guy in Reno, Nevada? I don't know. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the memory of the great Foz, and how he impacted everyone who petted him, everyone who got a chance to have him lay in their lap, which is a big deal for a dog when he first meets a stranger. Foz did that for me when I first met him. I think it was about 3-4 years ago. And upon meeting me, he had a stroke. Is he the first creature to do that? No. My Aunt Shirley's friend, Bethany, met me and had a stroke upon touching my hand. So I don't know. Maybe I've just got that stroke touch. Midas had the Midas touch. I've got Adam Ray's got the stroke touch. It made me very concerned, very worried for Foz's health, which he was not in a great spot at that point. But he went through his little stroke, and then he didn't freak out. He just kind of was like, this is what's going on with me right now. Is it cool if I still lay here in your lap? I was like, fuck yeah, it is, Foz. You make me feel, like I mentioned before, that everything is just A-okay when you're here. And that's what I'm gonna miss most about this dog, is that he made you just happy. And I know he brought a lot of happiness to Jesse May, and I know he's bringing a lot of happiness to dogs up in heaven. And Foz, we will continue to shine on your memory and your spirit. I'm gonna have a bowl of kibbles and bits tonight in your honor. I'm going to have to get very high to do that. So, probably put some Doritos on top of it, maybe a Costco muffin in between, but either way, might have a couple bites for you. Miss you. I love you. Thanks for letting me, get to know you. Bye, Foz.
This one's from my sister, Emily.
So I managed to escape the entire time Fozzie was alive, pretty much, without a bite or a nip. However, the last time Jessica was home, I went to go say goodbye to her, and she was sleeping, and I walked into her bedroom, and he came flying out of his bed and attacked my feet. So that was my last memory of Fozzie. But anyways, he, as much as he can be a little bastard, he was a cute little dog, and I'll miss him. Love you, Auntie M. Bye. This is Nancy. I am Jesse May's mom, which also makes me Fozzie's grandmother. And Fozzie actually was my first grand dog, and I know what a great little dog he was most of the time. I also know when he wasn't such a good little dog. He loved being at my house and being on the deck and being down in the lawn and barking at anything that went by. He really thought that it was his job to protect me and everybody there. I think he was happiest with Jessica, but his second place he was happy was in my home, and he will be missed. Bye, Chi-Chi.
My mom said bye, Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi was his nickname, and sometimes he wouldn't take his medication, and I'd have to order, like, filet mignons for my dog to hide his medication in. And my mom made me laugh so hard one time when she was making fun of that. She was like, well, tell Chef Simon that Chi-Chi's here and I need something delicious. And I thought it appropriate to have the man who bought the dog for me and the other main man in my life, my dad, Joey Peluso, send us off with his voice note.
Hey, I'm calling about the Fozzie dog. I love that dog because he always bit people that I didn't like. So I loved the little shit. And we called him a little bastard. But I loved him because he always bit assholes that I didn't like. Bye. Love you, babe. Love you.
Those are all people who are very close to me and who Fozzie affected in one way or another, whether it was showing them love in the form of a snuggle or in the form of a shin bite. And I guess there's many things that I've learned throughout the years having Fozzie Bear and having dogs in general, but Fozzie specifically just because of the time in my life that I had him, this specific decade that him and I shared together. A third of my life I spent with that dog. That's a long time. It's a long time to spend with anything. He was my longest relationship. That explains a lot. The longest relationship I've ever had is with my dog. And I guess what I learned from him is, if I could think of one thing, the most important thing is that he showed me that I am able to love, that I have a capacity for love beyond what I thought I was capable of. And it took losing him to realize that. As cheesy as that sounds, I don't give a fuck. My dog taught me that I am capable of loving something so hard that it hurts my insides. And now I'm not scared anymore. I'm not scared. Bring it on, world. Okay? Fozzie Bear showed me I can do it. So bring it on, motherfuckers. I got this. I love you, sharp tongers. Hug your puppies tonight. This is the end.